EXO Takeover.
Welcome back, guys, to a brand new episode of EXO Takeover. As always, we are here with a special guest. We've got the one, the only, Saint Severus here on the show. Welcome to the show.
Man, thank you so much. That was a very nice introduction, and I appreciate you just taking the time to do this with me, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you being a part. And for those who may not know, would you be able to give us a quick introduction to yourself?
Yeah, so I go by the name Saint Severus. I'm from California, born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area of California. I now reside in Southern California. I have a music production and songwriting experience. I put out music here and there. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to do more. Then sometimes I take a break. Then I move on to other things. Acting is another thing I do. I have a film coming up. It's called Days of Sodom. It's a Crow fan film. So for those who are big fans of the Crow series, you're going to be in for a treat. Hopefully this year we have an official release date for it. My good friend and the director of the film, Cody Falk, is behind it, and he is the main character. He plays the Crow in that film, and I'm excited to just do so many different things this year and beyond, especially with EXO. I've been a huge fan of The Weeknd's music in EXO since 2014. I was in middle school when I first heard The Hills, and let me just tell you, that was one of the scariest experiences, because that first note from The Hills is loud as shit, and I had headphones on full blast in the middle of the night, and I got really startled. So I just like took out the wired earbuds with the Apple iPhones back when they used to include it. So yeah, ever since then I've just been diehard EXO. So yeah, that's me, guys. That's what I do, and I'd like to stay engaged with the EXO community today.
It's the best family to be a part of, as we all know. EXO, yeah. Till we overdose. But
yeah,
as we also all know, we have finally reached tomorrow. We've made it.
Yes, and yes, finally.
I would just like to start off with, how do you think Hurry Up Tomorrow compares to his previous albums, you know, After Hours, Dawn FM, Hurry Up Tomorrow? How does that compare?
So, I mean, just, you know, just because they're more recent, let's talk about After Hours and Dawn FM. And because this is the new trilogy, right? You know, when After Hours came out, nobody really knew that this was going to lead to a new trilogy. But man, After Hours, that rollout was magnificent. I love that rollout. To this day, it's one of my favorite rollouts of any album that he's done. And that body of work, you just can't replicate it. And when Dawn FM came out, with essentially no rollout, you know, that was a nice, pleasant surprise, because how many times does The Weeknd drop something with that quality, with that amount of tracks and just like production? How many times does he do that just like randomly out of nowhere? Or for to us is random and out of nowhere because we don't know. Right? We don't know what's going on, but he had been producing that for a long time as well. And that's when we found out, essentially, that this would be a new trilogy. And especially with Dawn including, like, spoken word and, like, skits, you know, I think every album in this new trilogy has its own unique flair to it. And Hurry Up Tomorrow, I think when it comes to the production and to the subject matter, I think it's touching on some of the most important aspects, not just of Abel Tesfaye's life, but just anyone's life, you know, the human existence. I think there's so many themes that are so relatable now, especially at this age. I think anybody that's been a fan of The Weeknd since way back, you know, the trilogy days and, you know, Kissland days, it's like, that was the version of The Weeknd that was relatable to us at that time, because we were younger, we were making the same mistakes, we were doing and thinking the same things, you know, that the only you can think of in your early 20s or like your late teens. I was too damn young to even grow up in that time, so I can't relate to the trilogy and Kissland character of The Weeknd. But like growing up and like being in high school when Starboy came out, and like kind of slowly, you know, growing into these new mindsets, and then also hearing The Weeknd's newer music at the same time, it's like, oh my god, the character progression is so relatable, because I'm also getting older. I'm also growing into these new mindsets, and now that I'm an adult, a young adult, with a whole new outlook, with a whole new perspective on life than the last album. I just think it's perfect. The character progression. I think this album, in my personal opinion, is perfect. I'd like, it's so hard for me to give a 10 out of 10 to an album because, for one, I think that's earned. And on top of that, when you're biased, like I am towards The Weeknd, it's hard for me to separate the bias and the, you know, being objective aspect of rating an album, but I had no choice. Objectively, this is a 10 out of 10 album, and as a Weeknd fan, this is a 10 out of 10 album. So, yeah, that's how I feel about Hurry Up Tomorrow in comparison to the previous albums, especially in this new trilogy, and that's, I don't think we're going to top this. But then again, this is The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye. He has outdone himself multiple times over, so I'm not going to say anything when it comes to him.
Well, I completely agree with every aspect that you've just mentioned, you know, and you've just mentioned then about the themes that we get across Dawn FM, After Hours, and Hurry Up Tomorrow. Is there a sense of vulnerability in Hurry Up Tomorrow that you think really speaks to people listening?
Yes, especially that last track, Hurry Up Tomorrow, the final track on the album. You know, it's essentially an admission of, hey, I know what I've done, and I know how I'm gonna get to healing now. And I can't heal if I hold on to The Weeknd, if I hold on to my past. I can't heal if I hold on to the fact that I had no father growing up. I can't grow out of anything if I hold on to the fact that my relationships haven't been great and that I failed people in my life. I failed myself. So I need to finally absolve everything from the past. The only person that's going to help me grow is me. So, you know, I have personally gone through a similar experience where I'm finally growing into this mindset of no one's gonna save me, no one's gonna help me, no one's going to care about me as much as me. And self-love is important. And anything that's hindering my growth, I reject it, I'm throwing it away, it's no longer serving me. And I feel like so many people go through that. And I think now more than ever, people are kind of growing in a way that's mindful of their spirit, their physical health, their, like, whatever, you know, kind of wellness that exists. I think more and more people are like really tapping into every possible aspect of their life that they know they can control, and I think more people do want to improve. So yeah, I think the vulnerability is present, it's different, and it's necessary. I think,
do you think that Abel decided to take this approach of, like you said, self-healing and, you know, looking after yourself? Do you think this has all happened because of the SoFi incident, or do you think he felt this way even before then?
I think if the intention of these previous three albums we got was to make it a trilogy, and if the trilogy was always intended to be the After Hours of the Night, the Purgatory of the Dawn, and the Optimism of Hurry Up Tomorrow, then I do believe that this was always the intention and the goal 5-6 years ago, whenever the After Hours production began. But the SoFi incident with the losing of the voice, I definitely think, you know, inspired a whole new approach to the third entry of the trilogy. I don't think too much is different, but I think it's different enough that we got things like the I Can't Fucking Sing interlude, you know, the fact that a movie is coming out, and I'm pretty sure the losing of the voice plays a huge part in the plot of the film. You know, we definitely got something different out of that incident. But I always think the goal was to tell this three-part story.
Do you think that, not just for Hurry Up Tomorrow, but the whole of this new trilogy, is there certain elements or instruments that really stand out for you?
I was really shocked with the Until We're Skin and Bones, because even though it's like this 20-second track, so almost sounds like a Skrillex track in the beginning of it. You're like, whoa, what? I have never heard this ever from The Weeknd. There's a lot of tracks on Hurry Up Tomorrow where I felt like this does not sound like ordinary Weeknd music. This is something that he knows, Like, it's his last hurrah. He wants to go all out. There's elements that I'm starting to see now that are coming in from the older albums, and they're being sampled into the new one, which I think is a very clear message to the fans of the old music that, look, I can still hold music. I can still make use of my past in a good way. But you gotta understand, I'm never ever gonna make old trilogy replica. I'm not doing a trilogy 2. I'm not doing a Kissland 2, you know, because that's just not where he is in life. That's not where he is in his head, and he doesn't want to go back. So I think it's definitely, you know, there's a lot in Hurry Up Tomorrow that made me go, wow, that's different. That's new. I was happy to see Travis Scott get a feature on an Able project finally. It's always the other way around. So
very long overdue.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you say that the Travis Scott collaboration is the one that surprised you the most? I know that a lot of people I have spoke to have said Lana Del Rey was the one that shocked them, but just wanted to hear what your opinion was.
I figured by the time I heard Travis and Future on the new project, I figured that the route that The Weeknd was going was that he's going to do as many of his previous features as he could in this time frame, in this moment. So by the time I heard The Abyss and I heard Lana Del Rey, I wasn't so surprised that Lana Del Rey was featured. I was more surprised that Lana Del Rey was on The Abyss. Because when I was listening to The Abyss, I knew that there was room for a female artist to really go in deep here. My hope was Billie Eilish, just because of, you know, some of the rumors that were out there about Billie Eilish potentially being on Hurry Up Tomorrow. But I was really happy to hear Lana Del Rey on The Abyss. But if you're asking me which one surprised me, like, obviously we knew about Giorgio's presence close to the album's release. But when I finally heard the vocoded Giorgio voice on Big Sleep, I was like, yes, that's him. Everyone that I, you know, talked to about it at first, they're like, oh, it's Daft Punk. I'm like, guys, y'all need to listen to the difference between Daft Punk, Mike Dean when he's vocoded, and Giorgio. Very different. Like, they're same flair, same style, but there's just a hint. There's a hint of uniqueness. So that's the one that, like, when I heard it, I was like, yes, this is great.
Is there anyone who wasn't on Hurry Up Tomorrow other than Billie Eilish that you wish was on it?
Man, that's tough because I heard what After Hours was like without features, and I heard what it was like with features, and I was like, I prefer the non-feature version better. But if I had to choose someone to just be on a Weeknd project or just collaborate with The Weeknd, one of my favorite artists is Black, and he's been in the mainstream for quite some time now, and like, I would have hoped at some point that Black and The Weeknd would do their thing on a track. Really, really wish it happened. And if Hurry Up Tomorrow is the last one for The Weeknd, I will forever be, you know, just like, I will long for that collab. I will like just always be thinking like, man, if it can still happen, it should.
Well, this leads me into my next question of, you know, with After Hours, Dawn FM, we've had remixed tracks come shortly after the album has come out. Do you think we'll get remixed tracks for this album?
If we do get remixes, it's hard for me to imagine which song is remixed. But I think inevitably, because this is the last project by The Weeknd, you know, as we've all been hearing now, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of artists that were like gunning for that spot. Like, if there's an opportunity to be on the last one, I want it, right? So I hope that it's not someone we've heard already on a remixed Weeknd song. But then again, it's like people clamor for artists to collab with The Weeknd again. I hear all the time, Ariana Grande again, Travis Scott again, Future again. It's never gonna miss with these people, but something fresh would be nice, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because I was gonna say, knowing our luck, the remix that we do get will probably feature Ariana Grande again.
Right? It's just like every project seemingly has that remix.
But hopefully, you know, hopefully, like you said, we do get some new artists coming in, featuring on those remixes, you know, and not just repeating the same cycle. Especially
right.
if you're trying to, especially when the message is trying to break the cycle, don't then go back and repeat the cycle of having the same people on the remixes that you have had for the.
I agree. 100%. 100%. You're right on the money with the cycles.
But in terms of, you know, thinking how best to put this, in terms of risks and breaking that cycle, do you think that Abel's taken a lot of risks with this album and some of the tracks? And if so, do you think that they will pay off or have already paid off?
Well, I've already heard some, very few, but I've heard them. I've heard some complaints about how The Weeknd is doing too much with Mike Dean. He's working too much. He's using too much synth instruments. And I'm just like, okay, well, this is a non-issue. It's like, you're basically saying, I don't like that The Weeknd is working with a music producer, and I don't like that he's making music with instruments. That's basically what the complaint is, right? But when we're talking about risks, Hurry Up Tomorrow, in and of itself, is the biggest risk ever, because he's saying he's done with The Weeknd. His biggest moneymaker, he's done with it. The thing that put him on the map, he's done with it. The thing that's getting him all these accolades, all of these different collaborations and partnerships, he's done with it. Because he himself said it, like, nobody is going to replicate this. Nobody's going to do this better than I do. So what's the point of continuously going, continuously creating things with the same moniker, with the same character, with the same story arc or whatever, right? It's like, that's a risk. It's like literally anybody with a brand just saying, deuces, I'm out. And they're doing it in their prime. The Weeknd's only, he's about to turn 35. Like, he's young. There have been artists killing it into their 40s. You've got Ozzy Osbourne doing tours in his 70s. Like, The Weeknd totally does not need to be done. He doesn't need to stop right here. He also doesn't need to keep going. So
I think
that is the biggest risk.
Do you think, even though he's done with The Weeknd, do you still think that he'll still do EXO? You know, EXO is not just The Weeknd. It's also Chera, Bella, Nav. Do you think, even though The Weeknd is no longer here, Abel's still going to help those artists to build EXO?
Yeah, I mean, I think Abel is the kind of person with the kind of personality that he knows where he came from, and he knows how hard it was to get to where he's at now, and he also knows how unnecessary it is to go through some of the bullshit he went through. And if he can be a talent scout, and he can be a mentor to several people who have the potential to be as big as him or be bigger than him, then I think that's what his role is going to be within EXO, if he is truly done with producing his own projects. Because now he's interested in movies, he's interested in diving into more creative spaces outside of music. And, you know, like I said before, he could keep doing this, but he doesn't feel the need to keep doing this. But absolutely, the next step, when you no longer want to be the player, you gotta be the coach, right? Because some, like in our basketball team, it's like, we had some of the best players become coaches, and then those teams became some of the greatest teams in today's generation. So I think that applies to The Weeknd as well. He's gonna be the best mentor, if that's the step he wants to take.
Speaking of, you know, like, coaching, mentoring, do you think that this sound that we've got with Hurry Up Tomorrow will do exactly like House of Blues did and start to influence the future of how, you know, pop or R&B songs sound? Do you think that that'll happen again like it did at the beginning?
Man, you're asking me. I'm already so inspired by this project to make something of my own with something similar that he's done. Like, last night I was writing a song to a beat that I make myself, some that I find on the internet with some talented people on the internet making and producing the music, and I'm so inspired by it. Like, it's such a beautiful work of art. So, I mean, if it's inspiring me, surely it's inspiring thousands, maybe millions of other people, whether it's music related or not music related. It's just such a good theme. It's such a good story. I can't see why this wouldn't spawn a whole new generation of artists and producers and so on.
I guess, you know, I'm saying this a lot this season, so someone's going to flag me up on it, but I guess that time will tell.
Right. Absolutely.
I do want to quickly ask before we get into your top five. I thought I was going to ask.
No, you're all good.
What was I going to ask now? It's honestly slipped out of my head.
It's okay, man. We're here. We're chilling. We're here, man.
There we go. It's coming to me now. Music videos. I just want to quickly talk about the music videos we're getting for Hurry Up To. As people watching and listening will be aware, we've got the video for Sao Paulo, Open Hearts, Red Terror, and Open Hearts again.
I mean, we could count Dancing in the Flames, but it wasn't on the album, so...
In terms of music videos going onwards, is there a particular song you want a music video for, or what do you think you will do a music video for?
If I could, like, walk into the EXO boardroom and say, make a music video for this song, man, I would love to just hear and see a long-form music video between Niagara Falls and Take Me Back to LA. I think that would just be such a dope, like, 10-minute long music video, where it's like it starts out in Niagara Falls, he goes back to LA.
How have we not got a short film? Well, I know we're getting the movie.
I know we're getting a long ass film.
We're getting, but where's the short films we get? Like, you know, Mania, After Hours short film. I'm pretty sure we got a Dawn FM short film as well. Where's the Hurry Up Tomorrow one?
Man, I mean, the fact that we even have a feature length film with actual, you know, top tier actors like Jenna Ortega, you know, it's like maybe the lack of short film in the Hurry Up Tomorrow saga, you know, like it'll be well worth it when May comes around and we see that film. I'm looking forward to it, especially after seeing the new photos from the film and seeing that the Hurry Up Tomorrow album cover is also from the film. So I'd figured, I was like, okay, that, because when the night of the release came, and I was with my EXO friends, and we were all hanging out in the parking lot of an In-N-Out, we had seen the album cover release, and we were like, whoa, this has changed. What happened to the really sad looking up at the camera, Abel? Then I was like, oh, well, this looks very interesting. The face he's making on this new album cover that we finally got, it's like a state of agony, like the motherfucker's dripping in sweat. So I'm like, this has to be for the film. This has to be for the story of the film that he's coming out with. And lo and behold, when the picture came out today of him making the exact same face that was used on the album cover, I'm like, yep, I knew it. So when it comes to the like, if there will ever be a short film, I don't think that's the direction they want to go with this one. But if they were to, absolutely, that Niagara Falls to Take Me Back to LA transition, I think I would love to see that one for sure.
In terms of the album covers, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the original one, or do you prefer the one that actually came with the album?
Obviously, the one that came out the first time is the one we all got used to, so maybe I'm biased when I say I like that one, because it also is like really in line with what he's been doing with every other album cover, where it's just his face looking at the camera, right? And everyone had theorized, like, okay, he's looking down bloody face from After Hours, he's looking straight as an old man in Dawn FM, and now he's looking up to the light as Hurry Up Tomorrow, Abel. So I still want to believe that that is the album cover, whereas the Hurry Up Tomorrow, like what we got now with him screaming, I want to think that that's for the movie.
Well, I imagine that, I think in terms of both of them, I think they're both for the movie, but I feel like the first one we got originally is more towards the album side of the movie rather than the one we've actually got. But
there's so many perspectives on this whole project.
Exactly. We could honestly talk for hours about the album, but in terms of questions for now, I'm afraid that's all we've got for today. So now it's time to hand it over to you and to let us all know what your top five EXO songs are and why. Doesn't have to be from Hurry Up Tomorrow. Top five EXO songs.
Top five all-time EXO songs. Wow. Really putting me on the spot there, because there's so many good songs from The Weeknd's catalog. Whether it's a feature, whether it's from his project, whether it's a collaboration with another, whether it's a movie collaboration, I'm sure there's so many people that haven't even heard some of the music he's put out back from like 2011 onwards. So I'm gonna kind of pick and choose from each era so I can come up with the top five. So, you know, from Trilogy, really hard to pick a favorite out of 30 songs, 30 plus songs. But man, if I'm gonna choose one specifically from Trilogy, man, I think I wanna go with Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone, I think, is one of the most, like, it's a story that has stood the test of time for The Weeknd's career. Because as you saw in one of the videos he put out before, like a week before the album came out,
yeah,
he used Rolling Stone as the soundtrack of something completely, you know, brand new, right? Like, it's like a going down memory lane type video. And I'm just like, the fact that he chose Rolling Stone, because the message of Rolling Stone is, I'm going to change. I'm going to outgrow something, and I'm just letting you guys know I'm not going to be the same. And despite this song existing, people still want him to be the same, but I'm not going to speak more on that. But yeah, Rolling Stone is definitely up there. I really love Adaptation. Adaptation from Kissland is hard-hitting, filled with a story that, you know, just makes you feel like you're there with him. The world-building is so good in Kissland in general, but on Adaptation, it's really like, okay, I'm in this universe now. I'm living this story with The Weeknd. So Adaptation's there on my top five all time. I think when it comes to that era between 2014, 2016, you know, Beauty Behind the Madness, Starboy, I want to kind of like combine those eras, because there was like a lot of music coming out from The Weeknd's end between these years. He didn't really put his foot on the brake until, I want to say, after My Dear Melancholy. And even then, My Dear Melancholy would have been, like, non-existent if things in his personal life didn't happen. So that was an impromptu project as well. And I want to throw My Dear Melancholy into that era, too. So I think I want to throw something from My Dear Melancholy in that top five, because that whole project makes me feel something. For what it was, for how long it was made within, it does something for me. I think I want to put I Was Never There, because that, I think that was the beginning of The Weeknd stepping into this new sound with new producers, different kinds of producers. And Gesoffelstein, wonderful producer. I love Hyperion, his project that features The Weeknd, Lost in the Fire. Features Pharrell. Great song, Blast Off. So yeah.
I do just want to quickly slide in and give a huge shout out to Gesoffelstein's Gamma album that came out last year. Incredible.
I'm telling you, he's one of a huge part of The Weeknd's evolution, I think.
For sure, for
so,
sure.
So now I've got two songs left. I gotta be really careful about this one. But I wanna just say, a lot of people have their opinions on Don FM. A lot of them are, I guess, dissatisfied with the direction it went, but man, there's so many good tracks on Don FM, and for me to include a track from Don FM, there's so many good ones, it's hard to choose just one to put in my top five. But I think when it comes to just like what the track makes me feel, definitely Less Than Zero, I think, does something for me that, you know, most artists can't, I don't think they can replicate that kind of feeling. It's got like this somber, but like beautiful, like it feels good, but it doesn't. It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel some type of way. And my number one number one is not even from any of his albums. It's a song he did for the Hunger Games Catching Fire soundtrack, Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry.
Yes. That I think is like my all time, like, because that song makes me feel like anytime I play it, a tear will fall from one of these eyes, and it always feels like it's my first time listening to it. I love it so much.
I am gonna say, and I might be the only one who thinks this, Reflections Laughing reminds me so much of Devil May Cry.
Yeah, you think so?
You can hear it. Do not tell me you can't hear it, because if you listen to that track now, listen to Devil May Cry, then listen to Reflections Laughing, you can hear it.
Oh, I'll definitely do it, because I'm going to have to hear them back to back for me to get it. But if you're saying it, I'm going to take your word for it, bro.
Honestly, do it, and then message me and let me know.
I will, for sure.
Saying that is all we've got time for today. Thank you.
I appreciate it so much.
For being a part.
No. And thank you, man.
Any last words before we end the episode?
Sure. I just want to say thank you to everyone in the community who's kind of, because really recently there's been like this, you know, emergence of myself in the community and just like on social media. I've been here and there. I put a vlog up once. Somebody clicked it and turned it to a meme, and then The Weeknd saw it, and then he retweeted it. And that was kind of like the first time I ever saw people were seeing my face, attaching a moment to it, you know. And now I'm kind of back, and I'm like, you know what? I fucking love this community so much. I wanna give them their flowers. I wanna, you know, do things to keep the community engaged. Have them, you know, give them something to look forward to. So I've just been really happy to be, like, engaging with the community, doing giveaways, doing TikTok lives, stuff like that. So, you know, further down the line. Literally, it's, like, all because of one Instagram or TikTok live, you know, this was a possibility. So, yeah, I want to thank you for, you know, having me be a part of this, you know. And I want to see this reach different heights. I want to see this, you know, be as big as it can be, and you know, if I can be of any assistance when it comes to, you know, helping this grow, I'm more than willing to help. I'm more than willing to help anybody, and I just can't wait to share more with the community and with the world. Shameless plug, follow me everywhere at the Saint Severus on every platform. I am there, and yeah, watch EXO Takeover every day. Every day, you've got something to watch. Season one's there, season two is brewing. Continuing to brew.
Even the original episodes from 6 years ago.
6 years ago, man. You've been doing this a while, man.
Yeah.
You're locked in.
We'll be back next Sunday with more special guests, talking more things EXO. Right here. You know where to find us. Come join us.
EXO. Gotta do it right. I see some people do like the Hove. I'm like, no, it's this. So shout out EXO. Shout out everyone. Thank you.